Shir is Daf Chav Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, even though it was learned already yesterday, but we will just review it quickly. 8 lines from the bottom. Yesterday, the Gemara had mentioned a contradiction between brises. In one brisa, the brisa taught us that an oven that was heated up, a new oven that was heated up with peels of olive fruit or with stalks of kloyim, if it was a new oven, it had to be shattered. An old oven just needed to wait till it cools down. The other brisa said that both a new oven or an old oven, it was adequate to wait till it cooled down. So we asked a contradiction. So Gemara said, the last terrace the Gemara wanted to say was that the difference of opinion between these two brises is if Zevizai Goyrim is mutter or asur. If something is created with an effect from something which is mutter and an effect from something which is asur, what is the halacha? And the Gemara said that Rabbi Elazar, Eloi Kasha, Har Rabbi Elazar, the first price that says that the new oven, there is no option just to shatter it, is going according to Rabbi Elazar that holds Zev Zegarim is Asur. Har Rabbanon, the second price, which says that even by a new oven, just wait till it cools down, is going according to Rabbanon that hold Zev Zegarim is Mutter. Ask the Gemara, Hi Rabbi Elazar, where do we find Rabbi Elazar holding that Zev Zegarim is Asur? Elaim Rabbi Elazar the Sar. Perhaps it's Rabbi Elazar that said a halacha regarding leaven. The halacha is, as we've said, truma is asur to be eaten by anyone besides a kohen. If we have sa'ar of truma, the halacha is that if it falls into chulin, if there is 100 chulin parts versus the one truma part, the truma is batal. It's nullified. If less than that, it's not nullified. But sometimes, even if there is more than 100 parts chulin versus the truma does not become nullified. That is when the truma is a maimed. When the truma is something that causes the entire combination to be effective. The classical example is sar, leaven. Leaven, sar, is what makes the dough rise. So if you will have truma, sar, falling into chulin, even if the ratio of chulin to truma is greater than 100 to 1, the sa'ar of truma will not become bottle. Here we speak about, says the Gemara, that now we learned in the Mishnah, sa'ar shal chulin v'shal truma. If you have sa'ar of chulin and truma, shenaflo l'toich isa, fell into a dough of chulin. V'ein b'zei kadei l'hachmetz, the truma sa'ar does not have the ability to ferment the dough itself, nor does the chulin sar have that ability. But together, they do have the ability, and that's exactly what happened. They came together into this chulin dough. Rabbi Elazar Omer, acha akron aniba. Rabbi Elazar says, I follow what was the last sar to fall in. If truma was the last, then it's asar. If chulin sar was the last, it's mutter. The Chum disagree. They hold bein shenafel isel chatchila, whether this truma fell first, or bein shenafel isel psoif, whether it fell last, la'olamein oiser, it can't make a dough asar at shei by kedei lahachmitz, unless it in itself has the ability to make the dough rise. And Tosfos says that what will the Rabbanan hold if you have a different situation? You have enough Isser that can make the dough rise, and you have enough Heter that can make the dough rise. Says Tosfos, and they both fell in. Says Tosfos, according to the Rabbanan, the halacha will be that dough remains mutter. Vam Rabbaya, and Abaya says, in explaining Rabbi Elazar's shita, lo shana el kidam v'silakas iser. Rav Elazar says that if the chulin falls in last, it's permitted. It's only if you remove the iser, if you remove the trumas are before the chulin trumas are fell in. So the rising of the dough took place only with the permitted sa'ar present. Avaloi kidem v'silikas iser. If you did not remove the truma sa'ar prior to the chulin sa'ar falling in, then the halacha is usur, the dough remains prohibited. Why? Alma, obviously, Abaye's explanation of Rebbe Lezer is Zev Zeh Goyim is Aser. Since you have here a combined effect of the Chulin and the Truma affecting this dough, it's a Zev Zeh Goyim, and that's why Rebbe Lezer holds it's Aser. So now we were able to identify in understanding the contradiction between the Brises. And we said that the first brisa obviously holds Zev Zeh Goyim is Aser. Who is the man, the Amma, that holds Zev Zeh Goyim is Aser? Rebbe Lezer. Ask the Gemara, Mai the Talmud Rebbe Lezer Kabaya, who says that the explanation of Rebbe Lezer is as Abaye said, because of Zev Zeh Goyim? Dilma Talmud Rebbe Lezer, Mishum the Acher Ani Ba. Maybe Rebbe Lezer's reasoning is I always follow the last thing that fell in. And therefore, loishna kidem v'silkas iser. It makes no difference if I remove the iser prior to the chulin tzar falling in. Loishna loy kidem v'silkas iser. Or even if I did not remove the truma tzar before the chulin tzar falls in, it will always be mutter. As long as the chulin tzar was the last tzar to fall in. Avol b'bas achas. But let's say they both fell in simultaneously. Hachanam Deshari. Rebbe Lezer will say it's mutter because he's going to hold Zev Zeh Goyim is mutter. So I'm back to where we started. Who is the man da'amah that says Zev Zeh Goyim is awesome? It says the Gemara. El Rebbe Lezer da'atzeh Sheira. It's the Shita Rebbe Lezer that we find regarding the Sheira wood, which we explained is Avodah Zorah, and you're not allowed to have Hanah from the Avodah Zorah. The Tanan. The Mishnah Masechta Avodah Zorah says, "Not lamena eitzim. If somebody took branches from the shera tree, the halacha is a surim ba'ano. You're not allowed to have ano. You're not allowed to benefit from those branches. Hisik ban as a tanner. If somebody used those branches to heat up an oven, fire up an oven, chadash. If it's a new oven, yutatz. It has to be shattered. Again, we're talking about an earthenware oven which cannot be kashered. Yoshon. If it's an old oven." And yutzan has to be let get cold before you use it again. Off a basa pas, if you used it to bake bread, asur b'ano. You're not allowed to have hano from that bread. Nis'av b'acheres, if one of the loaves that was baked with the asher wood got mixed in with other loaves of bread, v'acheres b'acheres, and even if one of the loaves that we now have a mixture, and then something, one of the loaves from that mixture got mixed up into another mixture of loaves of mutter bread, the halacha is kulan asurim b'hano. They're all asur b'hano. Now there's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi has the girsa of our Gemara that nis'arva acheres b'acheres, that even if it falls from one mixture into another mixture. So we have a situation of a svek sveka. Perhaps when one loaf fell into a group of loaves, who says the loaf I'm taking out is the loaf of that was created through the asher wood? And now even something from the first pile fell into another pile, so I have a svek sveka, a double suffik. Still Rashi says, as the Girsa of Al Gemara has it, that all the loaves are awesome. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos does not have the gears of this arva cheres b'cheres. He says if it falls into the second group, it may be mutter. Tosfos says that anywhere else where this Mishnah is quoted in Shas, Masechta Avodah Zorah, and Seydes Roim, it does not have this gears. Now, there's another machlokes. What type of loaf are we discussing? Some say it makes no difference. Any type of loaf has this halacha that it doesn't become bottle, as the Gemara says. Other Rishonim, however, say that the halacha that a loaf doesn't become bottle is only on a loaf which is a dava chashif, a pas balabais, a home-baked loaf, which are usually large and significant, and therefore are not subject to hilchas bittul. But if the loaf were a regular bakery type of loaf, there the halacha is that it would become batel. However, other Rishonim say that since we're dealing here with Avodah Zarah, and as we've been explaining, Avodah Zarah never becomes batel, therefore it makes no difference even if it's a non-choshev loaf, it's a regular bakery loaf, it will still not become batel. Rebbe Lezer says, Yoylech hano l'yam hamolech. He could take the monetary value of the forbidden benefit to the Yam HaMelech, throw it in there, and then it'll be mutter. Now there's a machloikus, Yoylech hano l'yam hamolech. Again, what does that mean? Rashi says that Yoylech hano l'yam hamolech means you take the value of the wood, of the Asherah wood, and that's where you take Liyam HaMelech. Other Rishonim say that Yoylech Hano Liyam HaMelech means that you take the value of the loaf of bread, not the value of the wood. Now there's another Machlokes Rishonim. When we say that Yoylech Hano Liyam HaMelech, whatever it should not mean, as we just explained, what is the halacha now? Some say that the halacha is now that it's completely mutter, the bread may even be eaten, and others say that the bread will never be able to be eaten under such circumstances. You'll be able to have hano, you'll be able to benefit from this bread, but to actually eat this bread, it will never be mutter. The Chomim disagree. Amrloi, the Chomim say, Ein pidyon l'avodah zarah. There is no way of redeeming avodah zarah, and just taking the hano l'yam hamelech would certainly not be acceptable. Now the Ramban asks, everybody knows that ain't pidyon l'avodah zarah, that you can't redeem avodah zarah. So how do we explain Rebbe Lezer that says that you can redeem it? So the Ramban says that the explanation of Rebbe Lezer is not that he's, so to speak, redeeming avodah zarah. Avodah zarah can't be redeemed. The concept behind Rebbe Lezer is that the issur here is that you're not allowed to have hanor from avodah zarah. If I take what I benefit from Avodah Zarah and I throw into Yam HaMelech, I'm no longer benefiting from Avodah Zarah. So that's why it's mutter. It has nothing to do with pidyon. It has to do that I'm avoiding the isser that the Torah prescribed. The Torah said there's an isser to have hana, and I'm not having hana. But what do we see here? That Rebbe Lezer in this brisa said that if the oven was heated up with the Avodah Zarah wood, even though afterwards it cooled down, as we explained in the previous Gemara, and now it was heated up with mutter wood. So we have a situation of Zevzeh Goyrim. Still, Rebbe Lezer says, Yutatz, we have to shatter this oven. Asks Rashi that it's not only Rebbe Lezer that says in this Braisa that Zevzeh Goyrim is Asur. Even the Tanakhama agrees with Rebbe Lezer on this concept. So why are we identifying that it's only Rebbe Lezer that holds Zevzeh Goyrim Asur? It's even the Tanakhama. So Rashi answers that since that the Gemara means Rebbe Lezer u'machal kaisai. When the Gemara says it's Rebbe Lezer, it doesn't mean specific Rebbe Lezer. It also means the man the Omer, the Tanakhama, that argues in Rebbe Lezer, obviously holds Zevzeh Goyrim is also. Other Mepharshim explain that since the Tanakhama name is not identified, and Rebbe Lezer's name is identified, I say I'd rather use a name that I can identify as Rebbe Lezer. But yes, it is the Tanakhama that also at this point agrees that Zevzeh Goyrim is Asur. Ask the Gemara, how could I bring a proof from this Mishnah that Rebbe Lezer holds everywhere that Zev is a Goyrim is Asur, perhaps, aim with the Shamlai Rebbe Elazar. When did Rebbe Elazar say that Zev is a Goyrim is Asur? It's in this Mishnah, which is discussing Avodah Zarah, the Chomei Surah, that we know Avodah Zarah is a very stringent Asur. As the Torah says, V'lo Yidbak B'yotcha M'umah M'nacherim. However, other Yisurim the Torah, Mishamadle, where do we have a conclusive proof that Rebbe Elazar says Zev is a Goyrim is Asur? Says the Gemara, Ela Imkein Aman Tarmei. You have to say that Rebbe Elazar holds Zev is a Goyrim is Asur. Because if you're going to take even this Mishnah and say that this Mishnah is not a conclusive proof that Rebbe Elazar holds Zev is a Goyrim is Asur, because we'll say that this Mishnah is only speaking by Avodah Zarah, we go back to our original Kasha. We have a Braisa that was quoted in Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis that clearly indicates that by Ola and by Klayim we say Vizeh Vizeh Goyim is Asur. I have to have a Mandomer. By lack of choice, it has to be Rebbe Elazar. Ask Rebbeinu David if El Imkein Tarmei is a legitimate line of reasoning. So he asks, why in Tapar Amud? When the Gemara said, Abai explained that the Mishnah of Sa'or, Abai explained it, that Rebbe Elazar held it Zev is a Goyim is Asur. And the Gemara says, who says that's Pshat and Rebbe Elazar? May Pshat and Rebbe Elazar was Achra Nibba, I always follow the last thing. The Gemara should have asked the same Kasha. Elam Kenaman Tarmi. It must be Rebbe Elazar holds Zev is a Goyim is Asur, because if you won't say Rebbe Elazar holds Zev is a Goyim is Asur, I won't have a Mandama to explain our first price that we learned yesterday on Chav Vav Amud Beis. There the Gemara didn't say that line of reasoning. So Rebbeinu David says a beautiful teretz. He says, if we don't subscribe to Abaye's explanation of Rebbe Elazar on top of an Amud, that we don't agree that the Pshat in Rebbe Elazar is Zev is a Goyim is Asur, so then to go and start subscribing to him that he holds Zev is a Goyim is Asur, how, why can we do it? Here, it's obvious that Rebbe Elazar subscribes to Zev is a Goyim is Asur, certainly by Avodah Zarah. Now the only question is to expand that shita and to say that he doesn't only say it by Avodah Zarah, that he says it b'chol ha'Torah kula. The line of reasoning of Al Elam Keiman Tarmei is a legitimate line of reasoning to expand it. In other words, Elam Keiman Tarmei could expand something we already know. We know Rebbe Elazar holds Zev is a Goyim is Asur, at least in certain circumstances. Elam Keiman Tarmei could expand that. But where we don't have any proof that Rebbe Elazar ever held Zev is a Goyim is Asur, we can't use Elam Keiman Tarmei to subscribe that he holds that way. Void. Furthermore, Hatanya Behedya, there's an open braisa that says, V'chena Rebbe Elazar oisa b'chol esurim shebetayra, Rebbe Elazar holds Zev is a Goyim is Asur, not only by Avodah Zarah, but b'chol esurim shebetayra. Now says the Marsha, we have another answer to the question Rashi asked. Rashi asked, the why are we saying only Rebbe Elazar holds Zev is a Goyim is Asur? In this Mishnah, even the Tanakhama holds Zev is a Goyim is Asur. Says the Marsha, yes, the Tanakhama perhaps only says it by Avodah Zarah. But Rebbe Elazar, from this price that we see, says it not only by Avodah Zarah, he says it b'chol Yisur and Shemitayra. That's why the Gemara chose to say it's Rebbe Elazar that holds Zev is a Goyim is Asur, not anyone else. Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, Im Tim Tzolayma, Zev is a Goyim Asur, if you will say that Zev is a Goyim is Asur, that the explanation of the Braisa on Daf Chav Vav on Beis that said at the beginning of the Braisa Chodosh Yutatz, a new oven has to be shattered, and then at the end of the Braisa Rebbe said that if you baked with these Ola products or with these Klein products bread, the bread can't be eaten. We'll say that the Reish in the Sefer, Rebbe in the Sefer is Machmer, and he's also Machman the Sefer. It'll be Rebbe Hainu Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe agrees with Rebbe Elazar that Zev is a Goyim is Asur. Vim Tim Tzolayma, perhaps you'll say, Rebbe really holds Zev is a Goyim is Mutter, and he will hold in the Reisha that the Chadosh, the new oven, is not after he's shattered. V'hocha, and the reason in the Sefer, he said, when you use fuel of Arlo Kliyim, the bread is Osir because he holds Shvach Eitzim Bepasul. The bread is a direct result of the prohibited fuel. Hani Karas V'Kos V'Tzluchos, if somebody made bowls, cups, or flask that were made with a sherer wood, they also have to be destroyed. Why? Because they're no different than the bread. Just like the bread, Rebbe holds Yesh Shvach Eitzim Bepas, and if the bread is a direct result of forbidden fuel and it's Osir, the same halacha will be regarding these items. Ki Pligi, when will the machloikus of Rebbe and Rebbe Lezer be relevant? If we hold the Rebbe holds Zevazeh Garim as Mutter and Rebbe Lezer holds Zevazeh Garim as Osir, B'tana B'kadeira, regarding an earthenware oven or a pot that was made with forbidden fuel. L'man d'amr Zevazeh Garim as Osir, according to man d'amr Rebbe Lezer holds Zevazeh Garim as Osir, the pot, the oven will be Osir. However, if we say the Rebbe holds Zevazeh Garim as Mutter, Shari will be allowed to use the pattern oven, because you don't use the oven until you fire it up again with permitted fuel. So it's a combination. And the pot also is used in combination with permitted fuel. You don't use a pot on its own, and therefore it will be Mutter. Ikadamri, however, there's a different version. Afilu l'man d'amr Zevazeh Garim Mutter. Even if we'll say the Rebbe holds that Zevazeh Garim is Mutter, k'dei rasura. The oven may be permitted, but the pot is forbidden. Why? The kibla bishula become the nitin eitzim de tera. How do you use a pot? First you put the food to be cooked in it, and then you put the permitted wood under it. But when you take this pot and you put food into it, you're only using the pot. If the pot was created through forbidden fuel, it'll be like we said before, the plates and the cups that were created by forbidden fuel. And therefore, it will not be a situation of Zevazeh Garim Mutter, it'll be Osir. Obviously, this is only in a case where we put the food into the pot, and then afterwards we put the pot on the flame. But let's say we put the pot on the flame, and then only afterwards we put the food, that will be a situation of Zevazeh Garim. You have a combination on this food's cooking between the pot, which is Osir, and the new fuel, which is Mutter, and it'll be Zevazeh Garim Mutter. It'll only be if you use the pot, like which is normally the case, you put the food into the pot, and that at that point you're only relying on the pot, and the pot was created from Isser, and therefore it'll be like Shvach Eitzim Apas, and according to Rebbe, it'll be Osir. Omer, Rabbi Yosef, Omer, Rabbi Yehuda, Mishmul. Tanish Yisiku B'Klipi Arla. If somebody fired up an oven with the peels of arla fruit, or B'Kashin Shikali Kerem, the stalks of Kloyim, Chadosh, Yutatz, if it's a new oven, it has to be shattered. Yoshin, Yutzan, if it's an old one, it should be cooled off. Offer Pasa Pas. If somebody baked bread in this oven, Rebbe Omer Pas Mataris, Rebbe says the bread is Mutter, V'Chom Omer Pas Asura, and the Chom say the bread is Asher. Obviously, because Rebbe holds, according to this version, Ein Shvach Eitzim Apas, and the Chacham hold Yesh Shvach Eitzim Apas. Ask the Gemara of Otanya in the Brisa that we learned on Daf Chav Vav Mebeis on the bottom. We learned just the opposite. The Rebbe is the one that holds its Asher, and Recham hold that it's Mutter. So the first test the Gemara says is Shmuel Ipratani. Shmuel learned an opposite girsa, a reversed girsa from the girsa. From the version that we learned in that Chavav and Beis. Vibay same another teretz. Ba'al mekosav Shmuel halacha k'rebi mechavei rov v'loi mechavei rov. Usually in Shas, Shmuel says the halacha follows Rebbe when he's arguing against a colleague, one against one, but not when he argues against a group. Ubaha, but in this halacha, the halacha is afil mechavei rov. We paskin like Rebbe, even if he's arguing against a group. V'sover. Now Shmuel thought that people aren't aware of this. People will not realize that in this halacha, I always paskin like Rebbe. And that's why he did the following. Asni ipcha, I'm going to learn the braisa in a reverse fashion. Kihich the neki rabbanon l'sura, so they should have the rabbanon being the ones that it say that it's usher. But rabbanon being the ones that say that it's usher. And people will think that the halacha is like Rabbanan, because they're the majority. and they'll aser. And that's why the halacha will come out correctly. From here we see that in order to come to halacha l'maisa, to have the right halacha, you're allowed to even say something which is incorrect. That's why Shmuel reversed the shittas, just that the halacha should come out correctly. Ask the Magen Avraham that the Mishnah Masechta Kala says, Sha'oimer dova mechachem shloi omroi. If somebody repeats something in the name of Talmud Chochem, that the Talmud Chochem never said that, he causes the Shechina to leave Klal Yisrael. And here we have Shmuel doing that. So really, your rabbi answers as follows. He says, the Mishnah in Masechta Kala is referring to a situation where somebody says halacha, and then he attributes that halacha to somebody who never said it. But even if he wouldn't have attributed it to that man, the Omer, everybody would have agreed and everybody would have passed in that way. So now you going and attributing something to somebody who never said it, Garim L'Shechina Shetestalot Yisrael. But if you're attributing it to that person because you want that halacha should be accepted, then it's not Garim L'Shechina Shetestalot Yisrael. Shmuel didn't just go attribute halacha to Rabbanan that they never said because he wanted to say that they said it. He did it because he wanted the people should act correctly. That's why it's mutter. And there's an interesting tshuva in the Shalos and Tshuvos Beis Yaakov. The halacha is that in the Din Torah, for Din Mamonos, for financial matters, you have to have three dayonim. Let's say two dayonim say one way, and one dayan says the other way. Acharab, we go after the majority. But what's the halacha if two dayonim say, or one dayan says, I don't know, I can't paskin? So there the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, the Shulchan Aruch and Chosh Mishpat says it, we add extra dayonim. So he speaks about the following situation. There were three dayonim sitting in the Dintayra. A Dintayra between Reuven and Shimon. Two dayonim said, Reuven is chayiv, Reuven is guilty. The third dayan really felt that Shimon was guilty. But he knew if he'll say Shimon is guilty, he loses. Two against one, we follow the majority. So what he wanted to do was say, any idea, I don't know. What was his intention? By saying any idea, as we said a moment ago, we would bring new dayonim. And he felt perhaps the new dayonim will agree with me, not like my colleagues. And the question is he allowed to say any yedeya, even though he himself knows that that's not true? He is yedeya, he does know. He knows what he thinks is a mutter or asa. But Yaakov says, based on our Gemara, that he's allowed to say any yedeya. Because you always, if his goal is to bring out the true halacha l'maisa, it's mutter. Here too, his goal by saying any day is not to say something which is chas v'shalom not true. His goal is to bring out the halacha l'maisa, that he wants the right psak, and that's why it's mutter. One more thing that the Rishonim point out, by Shmuel quoting this brisa, and the brisa at the beginning says that if the oven, the new oven, was fired with the klipa arla yutatz, it has to be destroyed. We see seemingly that Shmuel holds that Zev Zeh Goyrim is Asr. So some say that Shmuel, although he quoted the Braisa, was only focusing on the second part of the Braisa, not on the first part of the Braisa, and he doesn't hold that Zev Zeh Goyrim is Asr. And others say that even if we hold, which is the way we normally paskin, that Zev Zeh Goyrim is Mutter, that's only b'di'evit. But this price is speaking about L'chatchila, and L'chatchila we should not rely on a Zev Zeh Goyrim. Bishla Agabi Gecholim, the price said that if you bake the bread on coals, Divrei HaKol Pasmateris, the bread is mutter. And as the explanation is, because since the coals disintegrate, so by the time I'm using them, it's no longer the item of Isser is no longer in existence, and that's why the pass is mutter. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmul, Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Rav Yochanan, Charama Loishana Al Gecholim Ayumais. What kind of coals will be the halacha that the bread is no longer Isser? If the coals are smoldering, like Rashi says, they're almost extinguished. Avgcholim loichashos, flickering coals. Loichashos means that they're whispering, they're still flickering. Asurin, that still means that the Isser is in existence, and since the Isser is in existence, the bread will be Asur according to Rebbe. V'charamar, afilo gcholim loichashos nami mitarim. Even flickering coals on water. Ask the Gemara. Bishlam lamandam loichashos asurin. According to Mandama that says that if they're flickering, the bread is asur, because he holds mishum de yesh shvach etzim epas. The bread is a result of the fuel. El Mandama, I feel loichishes mutters. Even if the coals are flickering, the bread produced from those coals are mutter. So then, I need to understand, past the asur, when Rebbe said that the bread, which is the result of the fuel, is asur, because Rebbe holds yesh shvach etzim bepas, l'Rebbe hechem shkachslo. What is the story? What is the case where this bread was created that Rebbe will say yesh shvach etzim bepas and the bread is asur? Says the Gemara, Amr Papa shavuk kenegda. It's talking where the flame is opposite the bread is during the baking. The wood itself is on fire. Since at that point the wood is not considered burnt up, so Rebbe holds that the bread that emanates from this wood is yeshvach etzim apas, and it's osur. But from coals, no matter what type of coals, Rebbe will agree that the pas is mutter. Now, ask the Gemara, Mechlal, based on this Mahalach, Rabbanon, the Pligalei, the Rabbanon that disagree with Rebbe, Sharu, they will say it's mutter. I feel even if you have the wood intact, burning against the bread, that bread will be mutter. But then we need to understand, El Eitzim the Seal Rabbanon, the Torah, the Chazal, told us that the wood of Allah, of Klaim, is Osir. Heichem Ishkachslo, what is the situation that the Rabbanon referred to? Says the Gemara, Amar Becham B'Shashifa. It's talking a case when you made a bench out of the Osir wood, that the Rabbanon will agree that that bench is Osir because it's a direct result of the Isser. It is the Isser Be'en, and therefore it's Osir. B'Aminei Ramei B'Chomer Rav Chizda. Tana Shesiku Ba'atzeh Hegdish. If somebody fired up an oven with Hegdish wood, Vafabah pass, and then he baked bread with it. The Rabbanon the Shabbat Kamaisa. The Rabbanon who said that bread baked with fuel of oil or klaim is mutter. Mai. What will they say in this case? Amale, so Rabbanon say, hapas asura. The bread is asur. Oma ben zula arla. What is the difference between this, that the Rabbanon hold it's asur, and by oil that they said it's mutter? Amarava, so Rabbanon says, the difference is obvious. Hachi hashta. Orla betel b'mesayim. Orla is bottle even in 200. So there is a concept of bittel. Hegdish, I feel b'elef like bottle. Hegdish never becomes bottle. So Rashi explains, since we see that Hegdish never becomes bottle, so we see that it's very chomer, it's very significant iser, and that's why the Rabbanon will agree that the bread is asur. Tosfos says that the reason Hegdish never becomes bottle is because it's a davish yesh lematirim. Since the halacha is that Hegdish could be redeemed, since it could be redeemed, that's why it never becomes bottle. Now, the Achraidim ask, the difference between Hegdish and Orla is obvious. What was the havamina of the Gemara that Hegdish should be different? So Mashah says that in the havamina, they were not aware of this halacha that Hegdish never becomes bottle. The Michas Baruch says a different explanation. He explains that here, we're not, even if we know that Hegdish is not bottle, that's only when we're dealing with the Hegdish itself. Here we're not dealing with the Hegdish itself. We're dealing with the heat, with the energy that it emanates from the Hegdish. And that's why the Gemara and the Havamina thought that Hegdish may be different than the Hegdish also may have the same din of Orla, and it should, and if it was used as fuel, the bread should be mutter, and that's why the Gemara had to tell us that Hegdish is different than Orla. El Amar Rava, so Rava says, E Kashala, if there's any question, Ha Kasha. This is the question. V'loimol Hamasik, the person that used this wood of Hegdish to bake the bread did Me'ila. Me'ila means that when you use a Hegdish item for your own personal use. And we know what halacha is, to call Hecha the Ma'al, wherever Me'ila was done, Nafkalel Chulin, the Hegdish loses its status of Hegdish, it becomes Chulin. So therefore the Gemara's question was, even if you're using Hegdish wood to bake bread, the wood, as soon as you use it for your own personal use, is no longer Hegdish. So why is it considered that you bake bread with Hegdish? Amra Papa, Hacha Ba'atzei Shlom Naskinan. We're dealing with wood that was used for Shlomim. Valir Rabbi Yehuda, and it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar, Hegdish B'shoigig Mischalom. When is there a concept that if you use Hegdish for your own personal use, you did Me'ila, and it's Mischalel, it loses the status of Hegdish, only B'shoigig. B'mezid, but if you were Mayel, if you used Hegdish items on purpose, and Mischalel, doesn't lose its status. And like Tosfos points out, truthfully, the Gemara could have said this as a Teretz, that our situation is that you used the word B'mezid, and since you use the word B'mezid, it doesn't lose its status of Hegdish. However, since the Braisa used the language of Hamasik, and it doesn't seem to differentiate between Shagig and Mezid, the Gemara is attempting to use a different Teretz. Now, we need to understand, B'mezid my tamaloi. Why, if you take a Hegdish item and on purpose you use it, does it not lose its status of Hegdish? Kivin la bar Me'ilu, that is not Me'ilu. Me'ilu is only b'shoigig, not b'mezid. And that's why, enough l'chulim. Shlomim nami, the same thing by Shlomim. Kivin the la bar Me'ilu nenu, since they are not items subject to Me'ilu, because the only items that are subject to Me'ilu are items that are kodesh l'Hashem, completely sanctified to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in the Shlomim, there's a part which goes to Hashem, and there's a part that goes to the Baalim. Actually, the majority goes to the Baalim. Therefore, they are not subject to Me'ila. And therefore, Lo Nafka L'Chulin, if somebody goes and uses the Shlomim, even if he used it B'Shogig, it will not be subject to Hilchas Me'ila. One of them being that when you do Me'ilah, it loses the Hegdish status, it will remain Hegdish, and that's why the Gemara could ask what will be the status of the bread after you use it. After you use this type of fuel, Hegdish fuel. Ask the Gemara, is that true? They'll call Hecha the Mol Hamasik. That wherever Me'ilah was done, Nafik L'Chulin, the Hegdish loses its status of Hegdish, it becomes Chulin. V'Tanya, call an Esrofim. Everything that must be burnt, offer Mutter. Their ashes are Mutter. Chut Mi'atzi Ashera, except for the wood of an Ashera tree, Ve'i for Hegdish, L'Oilam Aser, and so to the ash of Hegdish, remains forbidden forever. So we see that the Hegdish always remains Osir, even when Me'ilah has been committed. Different than we just learned, that we just explained that Hegdish, if Me'ilah was done, it's Mutter. Now it's interesting to note, the Rashi points out from the Gemara Masechta Mura, that by Atzei Sheira, the Gemara says that it's Osir. But Hegdish, the Gemara used the words la'olam, forever. Why does the Gemara differentiate? So Rashi explains that by Atzei Ashera there is a way for them to become mutter, and that is if you take the Ashera and a goy is mevatel avodah zara, because the halacha is that the goy has the ability to mevatel avodah zara. However, by Hegdish there is no way of taking off that status, and that's why the Braisa uses the word la'olam. But the question is, why is it la'olam? We say Me'ila takes out that status. We're talking in a case where fire broke out by itself, there was no Me'ila. And since there was no Me'ila, therefore it remains Hegdish. The Gemara could have also answered they were talking about Shlomim wood, which we know that in Shlomim wood there is no Nihil, as we just said. Rav Shmaya Amar, Ba'oisin Shetonu and Geniza. We're referring to such ashes that have to be put away. As we described in the previous plot, Trumas Hadeshin, the ash that was put next to Mizbeach, the Pasuk says, V'samay. And we learn Benachas, he should put it gently. V'samay, Kula, he has to put all of it. V'samay, Shalai Yifazer, he should not scatter it. The Torah is telling us by the Trumas Hadeshin, even though Nazas Mitzvosoi, even though it was already put away as it was supposed to, it remains subject to Mila, it remains subject, it always remains Hegdish. So we see that there are certain items that never lose their status of Hegdish, and that's what the Braisa is referring to. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ein Be'er Chametz El Sreifa. We learned in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda said that the only way to dispose of Chametz is through burning. Tanya, on Rabbi Yehuda, Ein Be'er Chametz El Sreifa. Vadin Noisin, and it's logical to say that. Noisa that there is no Issa by Yiro by Yimotza. Ton Sreifa, the only way you're supposed to dispose of it is by burning Chometz, Sheyeshnam by Yiro by Yimotza. Chometz, which has these extra Yisurim by Yiro by Yimotza, like Hoshken Shaton Sreifa, certainly requires Sreifa. Amaloi, so the Chom responded to him, Kol Din Shatadon Tchilos Lahachma. Any Kavachoymer, that the purpose of the Kal V'Chomer is to teach us a chumrah, teach us a stringency. For Seifel L'Hakel, but by learning the Kal V'Chomer, we end up with a kula, ain't a din. Is not a legitimate Kal V'Chomer. Because according to your line of reasoning that we're learning from this Kal V'Chomer, L'Matz Eisim L'Sarfoy, what's going to be the halacha if you have no wood? You yoshiv a bottle, so you sit and won't do the mitzvah of burning the chametz. So in other words, what the Gemara is saying is, don't use a Kal V'Chomer that it could end up teaching us a Kula. And here it could end up teaching us a Kula, because I may end up not doing anything, because if I can't burn it, then I end up doing nothing. So I'm better off not learning the Kal V'Chomer. Ask the Tzlach. Why will I be Yashiv Batel? I should do Bittel. I should destroy the Chometz, at least by saying Bittel. So the Tzlach answers that, one Teretz of Tzlach answers that Bittel only works according to the Chachamim, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, Bittel will not work. Or, furthermore, said the Tzlach, that even if Rabbi Yehuda will agree that Bittel should be done, the bittel will only help to take away the isser of bayiro bayimotzi, but the bittel won't help to take away the issue of tashbisu. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, the only way tashbisu can be accomplished is by actually burning it, and therefore that's not what the Gemara could have given as an answer. Rabbi Yehuda will tell you just do bittel, because bittel will not work. Now Taisus asks, how could we learn out from Noiser that you should burn Chametz? When we spoke about the burning of Noiser in a few blad ago, the Gemara said Ha Noiser b'sreifa, strictly Noiser is burnt, Vein Shari Surim b'sreifa, no other Isser. So we see that the Pasuk tells us Noiser is only burnt, nothing else. Now I'm using Noiser to teach me that other things can be burnt. So Taisus answers that perhaps what the Gemara over there meant to eliminate was only items that are not that similar to Noiser. However, Chometz, which is so similar to Noiser, that is not what the Gemara meant to be mamat with the word HaNoiser. Chazar B'Yudah V'Donah D'Nachar. So B'Yudah said another limud. Nois Asa B'Achila, Nois is Asa B'Achila, V'Chometz is Asa B'Achila. Man nois b'sreifa, af chametz b'sreifa. Just like nois has to be burnt, so too chametz has to be burnt. Amaloi nevela techiach. Why don't we bring a raya from nevela? Shesur b'achila, it's also to be eaten. Veinatun b'sreifa doesn't have to be burnt. Amalahen hefresh, it's different. Nois also b'achila ba'ano. Nois is also both for consumption and for benefit. For chametz also b'achila ba'ano. And chametz is also for eating and benefit. So I'll say, man nois a time b'sreifa, af chametz time b'sreifa. Amloy, so he said, Shah Nusku Yechiach. We'll bring a rye from the Shah that had to be stoned. Shah Sbachil Bano, that you're not allowed to eat it, nor benefit from it. Venetan Sreifa. Omlem, so Yehuda says, Hefesh, there's a difference. Noiser Osbachil Bano. Noiser can't be eaten or benefited from. V'onish Karis. And there's a Chiv Karis on it. V'chametz Osbachil Bano. Chametz is also to be eaten and to have a noah, the onish karis, and the zechiv karis. So that's why chametz is more similar to a noah, to noiser, than it is to shah and niskel. And I'll say, man noiser b'sreifa, just like noiser has to be burnt, av chametz b'sreifa. So he said, I'm like, chel b'sha shah and niskel yechiyach. The chaylev, the fats of the shah and niskel, shah also b'achil b'anoah, they're also to be eaten, they're also to be benefited from. Varnish chorus, benton sreifa. So you see that nicer, so again, we're back to where we started. Why should we learn from nicer and say that it must be burnt? I can learn from chaylev of shara niskel that it doesn't have to be burnt. Ask the Riva, perhaps we should learn chaylev shara niskel from nicer and say that just like nicer has to be burnt, chaylev shara niskel also has to be burnt. So he says you can't learn chaylev from Nicer, because by Nicer the Torah says Baal Tatiru, you're not allowed to leave it over. There is no such Isser by Chalif, and therefore I can't learn Chalif from Nicer. Chazar Yehuda v'don denacha. So Yehuda attempted another way of proving that Chametz must be burnt. Nicer no Yeshua Beis Asira, Nicer may not be left over past the time, for Chametz Beis Asiru, and Chametz may not be left over past the time. Man Nicer B'Sreifa, just like Nicer must be burnt, Af Chametz B'Sreifa. Amalai Oshim Tolu, the noise of an Oshim Tolu. An Oshim Tolu is brought when somebody is in doubt whether he did an Aveira. Ve'chatis ha'oif ha'bala sofik. When a woman has a baby, she has to bring an oila and a chatis ha'oif. Now what happens if she miscarried and she's not quite sure if the fetus that was born was a child? So she brings the oila and she makes a condition. She says, if this was a baby, so this is the oila mechuyif. If it wasn't, I'm bringing an oila for an adava. But that could work for an oila. A chattis cannot be brought as an adava. You can't donate a chattis. But she has to bring it because maybe she's mechuyif. So what you do is, she brings the chattis, and she says, if I'm mechuyif, the chattis, fine. If not, then it should be not considered a carbon. And the Gemara, Masechet Zvachim, explains why we don't have a pram of chulin b'azara, but still it has to be burnt, because if it wasn't a legitimate chatas, since an oif is not slaughtered in the Beis Hamikdash the way it's slaughtered for regular eating, malik is done, I'm not allowed to eat it. Now, the halacha is oshem toli v'chatas oif habal sofel g'dvarech yechichu. According to your opinion, will prove to us that burning is not determined by the factors you mentioned. Let's figure. Shem Baal Tasiru, they're also subject to the Isser of not being left over. And Ana Omrim B'Sreifa, and yet we, the Chacham, hold that those items have to be burnt, V'Ata Omrim B'Kfura. And you say that it's enough to bury them. So you, Rabbi Yehuda, yourself, are a proof against what you hold. Because if you held that anything that is subject to Vasa Siru has to be burnt, why do you hold by that? Why do you hold by the Nois of Oshim Tali? And why do you hold by the Chattis Oif Abol HaSofik that Kfur is enough? You should say burning is required. Shosak Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda remained silent. Amar Rav Yosef, Hainadam Rinshi, this is what people say. Kappa de Chata Negra, the dish that the craftsman made, Begava Nisr Chaldla, he will burn his tongue with mustard that he has in that dish. Arabaya, Sadna Basadna Yosef. The person who makes shackles will sit in his own shackles. Midvil Yodei Mishdalim. He's paid back with his own work. Ravama Gyori Begyori Mikdel. A person who makes arrows is killed by his own arrow. Midvil Yodei Mishdalim, he gets paid back by his own work. And the Ben Yoyoda explains why do we have three Misholim saying the same thing. So he explains that there's three ways to ask a kasha on what somebody said. The lowest degree is when a kasha is asked, and a teretz could be given, but it's not such a great teretz. That's similar to the mustard. The mustard, it's edible. It's not great, but but it's edible. The next degree is when you have an answer, it's a much more difficult answer to accept. That's the similar to the case of the shackles, where there's a possibility at some point the person will be freed from the shackles. The highest degree is when I ask a kasha, when I say something, and then from a kasha, then from a mishnah or a brisa, there's a kasha. So therefore what I said is completely refuted, and there's nothing, my pshat remains completely wrong. Same if somebody, chas v'shalom, is killed by an arrow, it's irrevocable. And that's what the Gemara is saying, the different limudim that the Gemara attempted to say Rabbi Yehuda held, everyone the kasha was better, until the Rabbi Yehuda's pshat is completely refuted.